I'm going to be talking about the heart tonight. Not very long. I think I'm going to be kind of short. But my thoughts of late have been about the human potential where God's concerned. The fact that we're made in His image and that we have the potential to be after His likeness. That has to do with our choice. But in this day where so many things are coming at us all so fast and so hard, and they're in our modern age of media, which media has always been this way, but it has the potential to get to you, and there's no place you can hide from it because we keep all these things around us, and these messages come, and the media, you know, the way they continue to make money is to get attention. So everything's a zinger, you know, everything is aimed to hit you in an emotional place, to get you excited, to get your attention, to get your focus, to get you onto a care that's a legitimate care, right? And so the issue we're dealing with today is just way too many seeds that are coming in to our hearts. As Christians, I think that can put us in because we do care. I believe all of us in this room, we have the heart of Christ. We're looking around and we do have care. We're not hardened. We care. And what that means is that we are ready to think about some things. We're ready we want to do something about issues. And so we can be many times susceptible to some of the seeds that are coming our way. And so anyway, I've just been thinking about the heart and how critical it is, dealing in my own life, trying to make sure, okay, I've got to guard this heart. What's coming into my eyes? What's coming into my ears? What's coming out of my mouth? What is in my heart? Because the heart is central and the heart is so powerful and important. So I kind of titled this Heart Gardening, but I don't really think that I did that title justice. However, that was my beginning aim. The heart is central. And as you go through Scripture, you'll see this over and over again. Deuteronomy 6:5, you don't need to turn there, but I'm going to talk through a few Scriptures. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Jesus called this the greatest of all the commandments, but notice what's first. Love Him with all your heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Luke 12:34 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Matthew 15:8 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that's a terrifying thing right there, that you could be saying the words of God, but your heart not be close to Him. That's one of those things that church goers, us, have to keep in mind, that that's possible, that that's doable, that we keep our hearts open to the Lord, that we actually have the emotional capacity that the Lord Jesus had, and that we're growing in that in a greater measure, because it is a growth. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Proverbs 21:2 says, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. And so the heart is central. According to Scripture, the heart can be troubled, wounded, pierced, grieved, even broken. As we know, as the passing of our dear brother Dickie, you know, that the heart just takes it takes some hits. How well we know all that. Thankfully, it can also be a cheerful, glad, merry, joyful, and rejoicing heart. The heart can be whole or divided, as in that phrase we often use. Well, part of me wants to do this, but another part of me doesn't. Have you ever said that? That you got that little mix going on in here, and it's something in here. I don't know. It's just a something. All of these descriptions can be found by just perusing the listings for the word heart in any concordance. The heart can also be frightened, faint, cowardly, melt like wax. The heart can be wandering, forgetful, dull, stubborn, proud, hardened, wicked, and perverse. Much to our surprise, according to Jesus, the heart can also be pure, as in, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's Matthew 5:8. And even noble, as in the story of the sower, but the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. That's Luke 8:15. The Bible sees the heart as the source of all creativity, courage, and conviction. It is the source of our faith, our hope, and of course our love. It is the wellspring of life within us. That's Proverbs 4:23. The very essence of our existence, the center of our being, the fountain of our life. And God is after it. God is a heart God. And he wants all of our heart. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now that's a fabulous statement, because it's got this infiniteness to it, in which he's saying, if you know my goodness to a degree, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's so much more. Just to continue to mention Dickie, just when you're thinking about what a person is experiencing, and the fact that they're entering into a level of understanding of God's goodness and what he has in preparation for us that we've not known upon the earth. So the heart, as we've just said, it's just a critical issue. It's going to go one way or the other, and it has everything to do with our selection, our choosing, our choices, and how we spend our time and what our focus is upon. And so in these days, as I started it, the issue for me is focus. Paul, I need simple, and I need the right focus. I've got to get this right. And so I've been spending a lot of more time in the Word lately, and just going, you know how you can get into the Scriptures and it'll give you a little verse at the end and you'll flip forward to what does that verse say, and then it's you're flipping all that. And I've been doing a lot of that, just getting these. I mean, to me it's just like, Father, I want your seeds in my heart. It's like I want to start over again with my faith. I want to start over. I want to understand what's the potential here? And can I stand for you in this day? And will you take me into the purity of what this all is about? And getting back to the basics of, I have a heart, and my heart is the Lord's, and I want to fill it with what is he is. And that's found in the Word. Just having a newfound love for the Scripture and the power of it, that it's a seed. It's an infinite seed. You're literally sowing God into yourself. And that, according to Scripture, yields a reward if you care for it, if you protect it, if you watch over it, if you water it, if you act it out. And just the power of that has been really captivating me of late. I know we talked about Mark 4. And I'm gonna turn there. Mark 4 is the parable of the sower, where we really see the Lord's spelling this out, and he says something special about this one. It's like this is the one parable that sets the foundation for all the others as far as what you're hearing. Now here's why. He gets over here in verse 24, and he says this, "And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." And I think that verse is referring to this foundational parable of what kind of seeds you're getting into your heart. And so again, it's a critical parable to understand. And so the soil of the heart is what the Lord says. God says, I'm a sower and I sow good seed. This is his seed. Jesus Christ came and accomplished all that was necessary for us to have his spirit and receive understanding and revelation about the word, and then to have a continual sowing of the word within us, which is an infinite thing. It's hard for us to imagine. But Mark 4, verse 4, talks about the first type of soil. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now, that would be just like a roadside. You're talking about compacted soil. We know that you throw a seed out on a hard dirt road, doesn't have a chance. All right, it's not going to be able to take root. And so this is a type of heart that does not receive the seed. The birds of the air come and take it. Those are demonic spirits in Scripture. And then the second type of soil, and some seed fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So this is a rocky soil. It's just not got enough earth for the seed to take root and to really grow up. So this is stony ground. And then verse 7, among the thorns. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And then verse 8, another fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up, increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And these two soils could be classified as the soils that we would have as born-again believers. Potentially, there's some difference of opinion about these things. But the way I look at the soil of verse 6 is, here's soil that has different seeds in it, and then you have the opportunity to see what's a weed and what's not. You have the opportunity to uproot some things and to create better ground, but there's still seeds are being grown in this soil. Could be other philosophies, it could be other religions, it could be just how to make your life work, you know. But you're into, hey, I want to be a good person, I want to make an impact on the earth, I want to bring a benefit to the planet. Under heaven, there's a lot of different ways to do that, but there's only one way to do it eternally, in the sense that you're beginning something that's never going to end, underneath the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I've also found this in my own experience, that a lack of obedience to the Father, if you're not going to obey, I've seen this even in my own life and in other lives, that if you don't want to give your heart fully to the Lord and do everything he's asking you to do as he would ask you to do it, that you'll look for other philosophies around the world to make things work for you. Does that make sense? Because some people are just after making life work in this time frame. And Jesus says, no, it's not about this time frame. It's about eternity. It's about me and my perfect plan and my design, and you trusting that I'm good, and that you can give your life to me and give your heart to me, and that you'll see my goodness as I go. But it's a surrendered heart. I think many of us in this day, including myself, dealing with, God, I want to surrender everything. I really want to surrender all. and understanding that the grace of God is involved in our ability to surrender. It's even, we're complicated enough that it's hard to even flip that switch and say, okay, I surrender all. You know, there's levels of surrender as we walk and as we go and as we see things, and we're just laying another layer down. We're laying more down before the Father, and He's pleased in that as we journey along. So God is the sower of good seed. And so the issue does, it comes down to what kind of soil does He have to sow in our lives? Because that has a lot to do with our own choices and our own desires and what kind of preparation that we're ready to do upon our own heart. If we're ready to get absolutely honest, if we're ready to follow through with what Scripture tells us to do, which is to open our hearts and confess our sins one to another, that we have people that we can say, here, look at all this in here. I just need you to look at this. Would you pray for me? Pray for this. You know, every single one of us have kryptonite. You know those Superman kryptonite thing? You've got your own kryptonite. I'm coming to understand this, that each and every one of us have this kryptonite in us, so to speak. It means you've got this one issue you can't deal with on your own without help. Without opening up your heart to another Christ-like human being and saying, pray for this. This is my kryptonite. If I hold this in the darkness, it will be my undoing. I cannot move forward. You know, it's easy to have a relationship with an invisible God in which there's no accountability other than His voice coming back to you. But when we step into the other half of it, we have absolute dependence on God. Okay? The other half of that is interdependence on others in terms of, I can't move forward unless I'm loving you properly, living towards you properly, having a relationship with you properly, opening up my heart to you properly, and letting you pray and get the light into my own heart. See, there's this relationship between God and others that the Lord has set up in law that we're not going to be able to circumnavigate. We've just got to enter into it. Many of the things in the Sermon on the Mount are very difficult things. They're things that humans don't do readily. They're things that people do out of obedience to God, and that's the only way you do them, because they're counterintuitive. And the Lord's going to hold us to that. I really feel like that the Lord is coming in a greater way. I think that the Spirit of the Lord is coming in a greater way. The problem with that is that He starts with the house of God. And so there's a double-edged sword in it. It's like, let's open ourselves up. Let's get in alignment with the Scripture. Or then it's not so fun when He comes, right? It's a little bit more scary. It's the difference between stumbling over the cornerstone or having it crush you. And so, Lord, we're asking You, help us stumble over it. Lord, help us find You. Help us know You. Help us walk with You. Help us lay it all down. We got to get our God's words, the seeds of God, in our eyes and our ears and our mouth and in our heart. As I've said, Mark 4:24, and that verse is talking about what you're giving your time to, what you're giving your focus to. Where your focus is, wherever your focus is, it gets bigger. It's going to get larger. And we got to make sure that our minds and our hearts are on the Lord. So what are the fruits of our life? If we can take a look at this, some of these lists here that are found in Galatians 5:16. I was looking at these earlier today. The difference between, or Galatians, yeah, Galatians 5 and 16, the difference between the flesh and the spirit, these two, the flesh and the spirit that are opposed to one another, and then the fruits thereof, the fruits of a heart that is full of the wrong things. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the lust of For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these. Now here's the fruits of the works of the flesh that we're looking at. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Many of those words right there you just need to do a study on, because we don't even know what some of them mean in the King James. So let's look at some of those, maybe in a modern tongue. Sexual immorality, that's a fruit. Lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. See, these are fruits of seeds in a heart that are of the world. And always understanding that many of these things in this line that I've just read in my lifetime, every single one of them have passed through my heart. The sensitive heart to the Lord, and the heart that is wanting to have the seeds of God sown in their heart, is sensitive to these things when they show up, though. And that there's quick repentance. Lord, I break agreement with that. I send it away. Fill me with your Spirit. You know, the process of repentance is that you're taking off and you're putting on, because of the deeper seed that is in you, that is Christ Jesus. And so that we're always practicing the deeper seed. We're not faking it. We're practicing the deeper seed. We're practicing the eternal person. We're not faking being that person. We're really that deep down. So we're practicing what's deepest, what's truest to us. And we're being very sensitive to walk in repentance all day, every day. More of you, Lord Jesus, in me. Help me take off and help me to put on Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is on down in verse 22, which is the opposite. These are the fruits that we're wanting to see in ever-increasing measure in our life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Think about this. Joy that overflows. Joy that overflows is a fruit of God's Spirit and a heart that's rooted in the love of God. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. And strength of spirit. Those are the beautiful fruits of the Spirit that God wants to see in ever-increasing measure in each one of our lives. Galatians 6, 4 through 8 goes on to say, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, it's this or it's that. And so, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, would you just open up our hearts that we'd understand the power of the hearts that you've given us, that we would step in with both feet and all that we are to your ways, that we'd be filled with the seeds of life, the seeds of your word, and walk in obedience with you as we guard our hearts, if we care for those seeds and watch them grow up and give fruit to your glory. Galatians 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them." Verse 26, as I said earlier, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness." All are created in his image, but only a heart that seeks after him and is in the process of sowing into the heart the seeds of life, and then guards that heart and protects it to see those fruits come forth, are going to be in his likeness. And I want to end with 1 Corinthians 2:9 again. As I said earlier, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." If our instruments will come on up, let's pray and we'll enter into a time of invitation. Father, we're so grateful that you've given us your word. Father, we're asking you to awaken our hearts to the seriousness of the day and the need to get before you and your word, to sow the word of God into our hearts, to repent, removing the things in the soil of our heart that would choke out your life and your word. Father, that we would understand the cares of this world that can enter in and choke out your word. Father, I pray for your church that there'd be an awakening to the power of your word and to the power of the heart that you've given us, that our choices would be wise, and that you'd give us great discipline to shield us from all the many messages that are coming our way. Father, we are asking you to give us eyes that are pure and eyes that are single upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we're continuing to pray that his beauty would come in such a way that we're captivated and focused and filled, that you could fill us with yourself. So, Lord God, we ask you, awaken us, awaken us, awaken us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.